Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're continuing in Colossians in chapter 2. We're in a new section, verses 8 through 15. As Paul expresses his concern for them by issuing a precaution concerning the various groups that are bringing their influence to the Colossians, and it's the same groups that have their influence on us in our day. The philosophy and the persuasive speech has not changed. We know that in Colossians in chapters 1 and 2 is the doctrinal section. It's the doctrine of completeness in Christ. We first saw that, and we'll see it again today, that all of the fullness of who God is was pleased to dwell in Christ. That He is complete. And the message of Scripture is that when a person is filled with the completeness of God in Christ, that that person is complete, fulfilled, filled up with all that God is and all that God has done. Every provision of God I am filled with and I am completed with. But there are different philosophies. In fact, Paul said, we saw last week from verse 4 that Paul's conflict and concern for them is there are people who come along with persuasive speech, deceiving people, not outright telling them a lie and telling them to follow it, but in persuasive speech, deceptively, through reason and logic, drawing people in a direction that is not Christ. He said in verses 6 and 7, the precepts that he gave, he says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, be continually walking in him." We saw from Galatians chapter 3 last week that Paul says, if you receive the Spirit of Christ by faith, are you now made complete by the works of the flesh? He says, if you receive the Spirit of Christ by faith, then keep following Christ by faith. Faith is the opposite of human effort. You catch that? Faith is the opposite of human effort, because faith is expressed as in Psalm 46:10, where God says, "Be still and know that I'm God." In other words, faith is just being still. Stop the human activity. Stop trusting human resources. The works, human effort stops at faith. The human effort stops and we trust in Him. So as the same way that you received Christ Jesus, walk in Him. Did you receive Him by keeping the works of the law? No. You're not made perfect by keeping the law after spiritually being born of the Spirit of God. Verse 7 says, having been rooted. Perfect tense participle that shows that once a person receives Christ, they have been rooted. Grounded, but also involved in a process where he says, by being built up in him, and secondly, and being established in the faith. We're used to living by human senses, but the Lord is teaching us to live by faith. And this is according as you were taught. Abounding in it in thanksgiving. This week is our Thanksgiving holiday. We to abound in the things of the Lord in thanksgiving. Especially if you understand your salvation, you know that I have been rooted once Christ has come into my life and I'm in a process of learning how to live by faith. But then as we begin Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, the precaution of Paul. He warns them and instructs about two groups. Verses 8 through 10 have to do with the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic. It comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. These are people who said they had special knowledge. That's verses 8 through 10. And then verses 11 through 15, the legalists, the Judaizers, the Jews who would come into town and say, now that you have believed in Yahweh as Messiah, now you must keep the Jewish law. Now you must keep the Sabbath. Now you must keep the festivals. Interesting. All of this that's going on in our day, it's nothing new. And yet, I'm astounded, and yet I shouldn't be, that it just lays it out in the book of Colossians that is not right, that the believer is not put under the law. And yet you still have people who believe in it and promote it and use philosophy and empty deceit, using reason and logic, just like Satan did in Genesis chapter 3 on Eve, when Eve relayed to Satan what God said, and Satan said, did God say that? Come, I mean, use your head, woman. You know. Listen to reason and logic. So verses 8 through 10 for today concerning the Gnostics. And again, the word Gnostic means knowledge. And just for you, the history of this word gnosis for knowledge and Gnostic. Gnostic began to be a word, a good word. The Christians were growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they were called Gnostics. They're knowledgeable people, people who handled and sought after the knowledge of God. But then the word grew to be to represent that which is perverted. Is that people came along and said and kind of pieced some knowledge together and claimed to have special knowledge, special revelation, special logic, special reason to get rid of truth, persuasively deceive people through their philosophical arguments. And if you didn't know the word, if you didn't know the truth of the scriptures, you could be deceived, just like people are deceived today. The Gnostics believed that Christ was on the level of angels, that he was not God in the flesh. In fact, they believed two things. Number one, that the physical world was evil, and that the physical human body is evil. But spiritual things are good. And because they believed that everything physical was evil and everything spiritual is good, they did not believe that Jesus Christ came in a human body, because the human body is evil, they thought. See, that's why John, in 1 John, why he emphasizes the one who does not believe that Jesus came in the flesh is not of God. He's addressing the Gnostics. In fact, both of his major writings, the Gospel of John answers to the deity part that Jesus Christ is God in human form. 1 John addresses the human part. So he's all God and he's all human. And anybody believes different than that, then they're not of God, because that is the doctrine of God. So the Gnostics claim to have special knowledge. In order to fit Scripture or Christian doctrine into their Gnostic heresy, they would take words like the testimony of how the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism. How that God took this man Jesus, just a normal guy in the crowd, just coming for baptism, and the Spirit of God coming upon him and God's Spirit using his body for 3 years, and then at the cross, the Spirit of God left Jesus to die on the cross. That's why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So logic and reason, they just pieced these two pieces of information together in order to justify the fact that Christ used a person's body, but he didn't have one himself. That Jesus is separate from Christ. Jesus is just, he could have been Bob. And the Spirit of Christ came, Spirit of God came upon Bob when he came to get baptized and took him over and said, I'm going to use your body for 3 years, and then when you go to be crucified, I'm going to leave and leave you to die. So the Gnostics would piece pieces of information together in order to fit their doctrine and fit their heresy. It's the same thing today. If you do not know the whole counsel of God, the whole book, and what it's addressing, one can be easily at least swayed into a certain philosophical direction that might not be right. So he says in verse 8, be watching, or be paying attention. And says it's an imperative, a command that shows continuous action. Be continually watching, or be continually paying attention to yourself. What's happening to you? That not anyone will be leading you captive through philosophy and empty deceit. He describes that as according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Great statements. So pay attention that someone is not coming along with persuasive words leading you in the wrong direction through philosophy and empty deceit. The word philosophy means a lover of wisdom. Philo and sophos. A lover of wisdom and knowledge. In the worldly sense, it has to do with reason and logic and attaching various philosophical thoughts. But notice what it says as it describes this philosophy and empty deceit. And there's no substance to it at all. He says, number one, it is according to tradition of men. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not. You have to by now. The church is steeped in tradition. All the major denominations are such because of tradition. In 313 AD, when Constantine made Christianity the state religion and told Christians, you can come out from hiding. We will not persecute you anymore, but you have to join our religious system. They said, okay. So most of the traditions, all the way from Christmas and Easter and all these various traditions that we have in the church, these calendar days marked off by tradition, are not even in the Bible, and they're not according to the Bible. It's just tradition. It's just what we do according to the tradition of men. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Jesus and the disciples, the elders of the religious leadership of the Jews, came to Jesus and said, "We notice that your disciples don't wash their hands when they eat." They were going through the cornfields and eating the grain. They weren't talking about having dirty hands. They were talking about ceremonial cleansing of the hands, which the Jews believed in. They would hold their hands in a praying position, and somebody would pour water on their hands, and then they would put their hands upside down and let the water run back down. Make sure you cover all the hands. Then your hands will be ceremonially clean. They would also do the same with the pots and pans. If you have trouble washing dishes, think about washing dishes, and then you have to, before you cook, you have to run water over it ceremonially for cleansing. And so they came to Jesus and they said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." This was a tradition that eventually worked its way into what is called the Mishnah, the teachings of the Jews as to what the scriptures are talking about. They had their own rules and regulations made up based on the commands of the Lord. So it began to be just a tradition that was held amongst the Jews, but it eventually worked its way into some of the Jewish writings. Not the Bible, not the scripture, but some of the Jewish writings. And so by the time Jesus came, he said, "You violate the tradition of the elders. Why?" But he answers and says to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded," from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift by whatsoever, thou might be profited by it." In other words, instead of helping out the parents, the priests allowed them to come and bring their gifts and whatever they would give to their parents, they would give it to the church as a gift, and the church would give it back to them and let them use it, so like borrowing. So they didn't have to honor their mother and father. They didn't have to help them. They didn't have to give them any finances. Didn't have to do a thing. So he says, "Why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct command by God?" And you do not honor your mother or father. In this way have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Watch out for philosophy, Christian philosophy, that has no substance to it, that is according to the tradition of men. Secondly, it is according to the elements of the world. The word elements is the word stoicheia. It's where we get our word stoic from. Stoicheia means to arrange something in a row, to line something up in a systematic row, like the alphabet. So any system of principles to practice is all from the world, not from the Lord. Christianity in our day is steeped in principles to practice, as if the Bible is a handbook to teach us what we are to do. That's the world's way of doing things. Stoicheia can be religious principles to practice, a system to practice. It can be in business. In fact, we take some of the best business minds of the world, and once they become Christians, and bring them into the church and help them bring these business practices into the church according to the elements of the world and not according to Christ. The elements of the world are a system of principles to practice. And I want to emphasize to you the word system, because I've been using that word the last couple of weeks. In fact, I posted on someone's post a few days ago about systems. Every church is a religious system. Every church. And every church system is different from all other church systems, even if the church is part of that church's denominations. Every church system is different from all other church systems. With that, I said, the church system is not Jesus Christ. We're deceived with a philosophy that says that if I'm involved with religious practices of Christianity, that I am involved with Christ. No, you're not. As I said the first hour, there was a saying I saw this last week that I thought was good, is that Christianity began to be a religion of Jesus Christ, and now it has become a religion about Him. Not of Him, about Him. That we're learning information about Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, not about the Jesus who lives today. Not about a personal relationship with Him. So the system of the world, the system of principles to practice that are brought into the church, and taking that worldly approach, approaching the Bible and taking principles out of the Bible and making systems of practice out of it. You see what he's leading up to, because he's going to tell us starting next week, the law of the Old Testament, that's a system too. Anything that the human being puts forth effort to practice is an element of the world. It's a system of principles to practice. That's how the world does things. That's not how God does things. Now notice this, it's a big one. Catch this. According to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. It does not say not according to the Bible or not according to the Scriptures. It says, and not according to Christ Himself. Jesus Christ is not a system. And any religious system, even if it calls itself Christian, the system is not Jesus Christ Himself. So he says this philosophy and empty deceit that is according to the traditions of men and according to the elements of the world is not according to Christ Himself. Because look at verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, is dwelling all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wow. Verses 9 and 10 are the two of the most important verses in the whole New Testament. He says, you don't need a system. You don't need a Christian philosophy. You don't need special knowledge. You need Christ. And here's why. It's important. Because in Christ is dwelling all of the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. All of the fullness. You remember back in chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, for it pleased all of the fullness to dwell in Christ. That term, all the fullness, was a pagan term that was used to say that Jesus Christ was just an emanation, one of many emanations that came out from God. He's like an angel. But he's not all of the fullness of who God is. That's what Paul is saying. All of the fullness of who God is was pleased to dwell in Jesus Christ. And now he's saying the same thing in a different way. And in him is dwelling all of the fullness of what? The Godhead. Who do you know the Godhead to be? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All of who God is. Present tense, is dwelling in Christ. In bodily form. Verse 10, the turning point. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all rule and all authority. So God is complete in Christ, all of the Godhead, all of the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ. And I am complete in Christ. I have all that he is. The word complete is what is in the perfect, it was called the perfect tense in Greek, which means it's a fixed position. That you were complete in the past and you are now completed. The word itself means to fill up something. To fill up something. I am filled up to the brim, to the top, of all of the fullness of the Godhead in the person of Jesus Christ. I am in a condition of being complete, filled up, no room for anything more. I don't need more resources and I don't need more spiritual experiences. I have all of him. And then remember, the Gnostics held that Jesus Christ was just an emanation coming out from God. He was on the level of angels. Paul says in verse 10, who is the head of all rule and authority? Christ is the head of all rule and authority, all spiritual forces. He's the head. He's not an emanation. He's not an angel. He's the head of all things. So the Gnostic belief, they had a false presentation of Jesus. He's not an angel. There are religious groups today that believe that Jesus Christ was just an angel. In fact, they believe that he's Michael the archangel that came in human form. Some believe that Jesus Christ is just an offspring, a child of God. Since there's God the Father and God the Son, they make up the fact that there must be God the Mother If there's a God the Father and God the Son, logic and reason only says there's got to be a mother in there somewhere. Where'd the Son come from? So they say there's God the Father and God the Mother and God the Son, and he's their child, but he's not God. So the philosophy goes, logic and reason. The Gnostics and all false doctrine presents falsely the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he came in his physical form, was all man and he was all God. Nothing short of that. So that the moment that his spirit comes into my spirit, remember what he said in chapter 1, verse 27 of Colossians, that my hope of glory is Christ in me. And as we explained before, both from Sunday and from Monday nights, we're learning that when a person is born of the Spirit of Christ literally comes into your spirit and becomes one with your spirit. So that he is in us and we are in him. That's how the scripture describes it. And from that point forward, I am saved throughout eternity. Wherever my spirit goes, his spirit goes, because my spirit is led by his spirit, wherever he takes me. When my spirit leaves my body, it's because his spirit took me out of my body. Now, if we have that understanding, if we have that concept of who Christ is and what salvation is all about, and his spirit in me isn't just part of who God is, I have all of God, and he has totally and completely saved me. And as far as my salvation and my eternity goes, I have been made complete. And somebody comes along and says, are you keeping the feasts? What does that have to do with anything? It's not spiritual. That's what God told the Jews to do, because in them, they are a shadow of the person of Christ himself. Everything in the law is a shadow of the person of Christ himself. He's going to tell us later on, in Colossians, that in Christ is the substance of what those things were as a shadow. So if you have all of Christ, you don't need to go back and practice the shadow, the religious practices. It doesn't mean anything anymore. I'm not gaining anything by, after being saved, keeping the law. What can I add to this? Nothing. All I can do is take away from it, because it's like, okay, you're living in me and I'm in you and I'm completing you, but I'm going to go over here and practice keeping the festivals. Just kind of hang in there with me, because this is a human thing, you see, and we're going to go over here and God's just sitting there and I'm doing this. It's like, and what does that do for you spiritually? Nothing. If anything, it takes away from Christ. It's not according to Christ. It's according to the law. It's according to the principle. It's according to the religion. It's according to the tradition. But am I doing that thing according to Christ himself? That's the question. If it's not, it's just a man's philosophy and empty deceit. No substance to it whatsoever. And Paul says, I'm concerned for you that people would come along and deceive you with persuasive speech using philosophy, even piecing scriptures, different scriptures together to make it a person feel obligated to make human effort to improve their spiritual condition. How do you do that humanly? You don't. And you can't. So what is it for a Christian then? I cannot improve my spiritual condition once I receive Christ. I can't improve on that. I've been made complete. I'm saved throughout eternity. I have all of Him. He has all of me. The Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Come to know Him. Learn to live by faith. Learn to trust the one who has saved you. Learn to trust the one in whose hand controls your life. Be still and know that He's God. That's faith. The opposite of faith is human effort. Trying to find those human resources and human plans and human ways and human systems to what? Produce spirituality, and you can't do it. Things that are not according to Christ Himself. Not just what He taught, not just what He pointed out, not even His commands, but Christ Himself. Because in Him is all of the fullness of the Godhead. And because He lives in me, I am now complete in Him. Anything I try to add to that, I'm actually subtracting from it. I'm taken away from the complete work of Christ. Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." Complete. He's done it all. He's paid it all. He's done it all for us. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word and Your Spirit. It helps straighten things out for us, helps us to understand, helps us to study the true knowledge of Your Word. And we pray that You would, by Your Spirit, cause us to keep watching, keep paying attention, that someone doesn't come along with philosophy and empty deceit and in persuasive speech, lead us down a path of religious practice that produces no substance, nothing spiritual, and has nothing to do with the person of Christ. Help us to see our completeness in Christ. Help us to see that we're in the process of learning to live by faith, to trust this one who has saved us. And to put our faith in Him instead of our human senses that we're used to living by. As we continue to fellowship together and grow together, help us to see these truths in the midst of a last day Christianity, a type of Christianity with its various philosophical systems that is drawing people away from Christ instead of drawing people to Christ. Where people are heading in the wrong direction by droves, even keeping the law and following the law, but not according to Christ. We pray a confession to You that we're dependent upon Your Spirit to cause us to keep watching, keep paying attention. Because these philosophies and teachings are out there now, more so than the teaching of Christ. We confess our dependence upon Your Spirit to protect us, to guard us, to be our teacher and to be our guide. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.